Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through this intense drama here in Lent, particularly this week as we approach Holy Week and the Passion of our Lord. What the church brings us in the daily readings is in the Gospel, chapter 8 of John's Gospel, is one of the most dramatic scenes in the entire New Testament in the life of Jesus. It's the confrontation between Jesus and the religious leaders of Israel. And there's so much revealed there for us in this moment. It's worth kind of digging in and going after it. And as I was preparing for today, I was thinking about the first Sunday of Lent, and the reading that we're given in the gospel there is the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is baptized. Well, it's the end of the baptism of Jesus and his going into the desert. That's the main thing, the spiritual battle. So the church gives us the confrontation between Jesus and Satan right there. And I wanted to just underline something because there's themes that appear throughout this whole season of Lent, and we draw a lot. We can gain a lot by taking those themes in, internalizing them, and seeing the reality of how these things are unfolding in our own lives, sharing in Jesus' life and mission. So the beginning of that reading was that talked about Jesus was baptized. He came out of the Jordan after his baptism. And there's that beautiful scene where there's a revelation of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit appears form of a dove, and people could hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." And it said, then the Spirit led him. This is the life of a disciple. Jesus is the one. We're all baptized into Christ, and those who belong to Jesus are his disciples. And being baptized into Christ means we share in the life of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given to us in baptism. So what we see in that dramatic moment is the Holy Spirit, after Jesus is baptized, the Father says, "This is my Son," and then Jesus begins his great mission for which the Father had sent him, which was to bring the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God to the earth, and through the preaching of the gospel to declare the reality of who God is, and through demonstration of signs and wonders to manifest the kingdom, and through his whole life to show everybody what the kingdom looks like. And the first thing he did was he went to war, because Jesus understood, as John, this very, you know, the gospel reading in 1 John, his letter, he said the whole reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to make war on the opposition, all the opposition to the Father's kingdom and rule and reign on the earth. And the head of that opposition is Satan. And Jesus went right into the desert, that place of battle, and for 40 days and for 40 nights, he did battle against Satan, who tried to tempt him in those three dramatic ways. And so it's important for us to see, and what the church wanted us to pick up at that point and to walk through Lent and to be right here now in the midst of this drama, is to understand that all of us, who are baptized into Jesus, are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus went into that battle, and he declared it after he came out of the desert when he went back home to Galilee and in the temple, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bring, you know, set captives free, to give sight to the blind." Jesus came in the anointing of the Spirit. And that's that Spirit that anointed and empowered him to fulfill his mission. And it's that same Spirit he gave to us, because just in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, just before this dramatic scene in chapter 8, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, in verse 37, he said, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" And then John makes this comment. "Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is very important. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. And the Spirit is the living water of heaven, the life and love between the Father and the Son. We hear in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter declares that this Jesus had indeed passed from death to life and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he was glorified. He brought with him as the head of this new race of people, the new creation, the new humanity. He brought in his risen flesh. He brought us with him. Paul will later say, into the presence of the Father. And human flesh, which was meant to share in God's glory, but had fallen from God's glory because of sin, was now raised to glory in Jesus Christ. In that position of being glorified, he poured out. He had the authority. He had the power. He had the grace and the ability to pour out that Spirit on all flesh. Father Joseph Fitzmyer described it this way. He said, the glory Jesus received from the Father became his power, the power to create new life in those who believe in him. Let me read that again. The glory Jesus received from the Father became his power, the power to create new life in those who believe in him. So, Jesus has the ability, the power, the grace to give us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the Spirit in baptism. And that enables us to walk in spiritual warfare the way Jesus walked and to win victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what's happening in chapter 8 here of the gospel is Jesus is dialing in and exposing this battle. He exposed the devil at different times. He talked about the flesh. He talked about the sin that was in human hearts, and he exposed it in people's lives. And now he was coming even to the religious leaders to say, look, the whole world is in the grip of sin and therefore in darkness and in need of the light which comes from Jesus. The light which is God's very life and power in the person of Jesus needs to be given and needs to be received. That's salvation, to receive this life from Christ. And so the reading yesterday began with, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the religious leaders resisted him all along the way. They didn't want to acknowledge their sin. And Jesus was exposing the reality of their resistance to the Father's will. Imagine that. The leaders of the chosen people who spoke about the coming of the Messiah, anticipated the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah is standing right in front of them, eyeball to eyeball, and he's communicating to them who he is, and they're denying who he is. They're resisting him. In fact, they're plotting to kill him. They're plotting to silence him. And Jesus, in that, is revealing the truth that's in every human heart, including the heart of the religious leaders. The human heart is sin-sick. It's darkened by sin. It refuses to acknowledge God and love God fully, wholly, and surrender to him in trust and obedience. That's the human condition. And as a result, humanity is separated from God, their Father. We can't see the Father. Jesus says he's come to reveal the Father. He said, I testify on my behalf, and so does the Father who sent me. So does the Father who sent me. You don't know where I've come from, Jesus said, but I know. I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. Isn't that part of the darkness the human race is in? We can't answer the fundamental questions. Where have I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the meaning of my life? Imagine Jesus saying that to you. He wants to say it to every human being. I know where I have come from. I know where I'm going. I know where you've come from. My Father has made you. He's created you. The Father and the Son together have made us, and we belong to them. And our life can be found ultimately only in them. And Jesus came to make that clear, to reveal it. And he showed us what it means to say yes to God and to receive that life. And so It's so important for us to be able to see ourselves, friends, even in the midst of this drama, as Jesus dials more deeply into exposing the sin of the Pharisees. And so today's reading, he continues it. This is verses 21 through 30. He said, "I'm going away and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "He's not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, where I'm going, you cannot come." He said to them, "You belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will die in your sins." This is the preaching of Jesus. This is what Jesus came to deal with. He came to deal with the sin problem. He didn't come just to elevate our ego or to help us feel better about ourselves. Jesus came to deal with the fundamental problem that's destroying all of our lives. It's the enslavement that we have to sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The drama that we're going to enter into next week in Christ's passion was for sin. He came, as John will say later, he came to take away sin. And it's crucial for us to be able to be totally honest with Jesus about our sin. It's so easy, and I'll say this from my own life, it's so easy to want to hide my sin or to cover over it or to minimize it or to justify it or to scapegoat or do whatever, instead of just with total raw honesty to be able to say, "Jesus, yes, I'm a sinful man and I've sinned against you. I'm not innocent. I've willed to disobey you. Forgive me, Lord. Come and take my sin." Jesus comes in love not to condemn us, but to save us. But if we insist on holding on to our own sin, not just the sins we've committed, but the sins, the ways in which we refuse to cooperate with Jesus' work in our lives. For example, this is a big one, to forgive people who've harmed us. This might be the biggest block to the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of most people today who are baptized into Christ. We find it very difficult as human beings to forgive people and to forget what they've done to us. We don't want to let them off the hook. We don't want them to forget what they've done to us because it hurts. It hurts us, so we want them to hurt. But Jesus is so clear, friends, how important it is for us to be merciful and forgiving because of the great mercy and forgiveness that's come to us. As we make our way toward Holy Week and the Passion, brothers and sisters, let's examine our lives. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, who do we need to forgive? Is it my spouse? Is it my children? Is it family? Is it parents? Is it colleagues? Is it neighbors? Let's name it and let's forgive. In Jesus' name, forgive whoever it is who sinned against you. Let Jesus bless you as you obey him so you can walk in freedom and in love. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.